on. Brother Reggie, I would have him tell you about some of it this evening, but he's under the weather. It's what happens when you have little kids. They bring bugs home. But we sent our first team. We've sent evangelism teams to go and outreach and do door knocking and to canvas outside that area where the church is in Aniana. But we sent our first team to go and actually be a part of the service. We took names last week and divided them up. And if you missed that, you can get in on the list. But every Sunday morning, we're going to send a group over and just let them be there. And Megan was telling me it makes all the difference. And you can imagine to have somebody, just three or four in the house, that actually know how to worship and respond, and they're there, and you can feel the strength of that. So we're going to be doing that now. We'll have a team over in Aniana every Sunday morning, and then they'll all come back on Sunday nights, and the next Sunday there'll be another team there. But they had, I think they had four or five visitors this morning or so, and that is really good for a brand new startup in a storefront to have people that are coming and coming every week. And so we appreciate those of you that are reaching out, and I think Elizabeth was their pianist and their song leader today. And Sister Bonnie's been helping them with music and singing. And so it's just it's a fun thing. Storefronts are interesting dynamics when you're starting up a church front, church work. And we want to be with them in prayer, and we want to be in support of them. And we are expecting revival in Aniana. Just out of the woodwork now, some contacts are starting to pop up. And I never knew so many people were connected with Aniana. But we had a visitor card from somebody from Aniana this morning here in church. And we have a young lady who's in Bible study with Sister Murray, and her mother lives in Aniana. And so we're just kind of starting to compile some connections and some networks. And so you just be in prayer. I believe there's a church there. I believe there's a church in every little city and every little village, every municipality. It's there. It just hadn't been born yet. But it's lying, waiting for the kingdom of God to come. And we're excited about it. Praise God. Good things are happening in the kingdom of God. Appreciate the good presence of God. We are so glad to have Sister Asiri's mom and dad with us. And in a few weeks, they are looking to give her away, and she's moving to the deep south. And there's not a thing in the world we can do to mitigate the loss of a daughter, even the gain of a son-in-law, to take them far away. But in every apostolic's heart, it's simply, we want our children to do well, to serve God, and to minister in the house of God. And that's what we want for all of our children. And we appreciate them. They had a shower. If you missed out on that shower, it's never too late to bring loot for a young couple that's about to be married. So if you missed it, you don't have to have the formal construct. We're so very informal here. You could just walk up to them and give them money. Or a toaster. I don't know. Do people even give toasters anymore? I don't know. Do they, Zach? No, you didn't get any toasters. You should have had five toasters. Anyway, praise God. I love the presence of God. I appreciate the good worship, the exhortation, the good prayer that has gone into this service, the wonderful singing and music. And I could just bask for a long time here in the presence of God. People go to bars to get what we're experiencing in this house tonight. People do illegal substances to find what we're experiencing here in the house tonight. And they get something, but they don't get this. They don't even get close to this. And in the morning, I feel great. And the law doesn't come looking for me. And I don't have to I don't have to jeopardize myself or my family. I'm telling you, God pours out things that the world tries to approximate, but they just can't. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like the presence of God. Hallelujah. There's blessing in the house tonight. There's healing in the house tonight because of the mighty name of Jesus and the promise of God. Praise God. And what we feel here and what we're doing here is a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like in the presence of God. And we look forward to what God will do tomorrow, but we're looking forward to his coming. Tonight, we're going to talk about something that we have spent a lot of time on in recent years in our theology classes and some of our small groups, and we've woven it in through a lot of our conversations here. We're going to be talking about seeing in a visionary way, penetrating the presence of God, seeing what God sees, bringing that down to the existential world, and making it real or actualizing it. And then I want to go a little further tonight and just talk to you about implementing that, which is like at the end of the Venn column, it comes along plan and action, or the place of praxis where you make it real, you take action. And then I want you to consider too the thing that you receive from God and the thing that you make real, merging it into the process of God, because God has purpose for you and God has destiny for you. God has a plan for you, and God wants you to be an integral part of what he's doing to redeem this world. And it's a blessing to be a part of it. We're going to read tonight in Exodus chapter 40, and we'll start in verse 1, and we'll pick some selections down through the chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. This is 2 years and 2 months after they came out of Egypt. They've been working probably the better part of 2 years on this tabernacle project, on all the parts and the pieces, and they've got it all together, and now they're about to set it up. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. He erected the tabernacle, the tent network, and all of the features and all the pieces. So Moses finished the work. And then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's what happens when you see, receive, actualize, implement, and merge into the process and the plan of God. The glory comes down. Let's, as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word tonight. Mighty God, we thank you and we praise you and we worship you. Your word, life and health and strength to us tonight, oh God. We praise you for the word of God in our homes and families, our hearts, our lives. We praise you for what you've done and the prophecy you've given us and everything we're walking in by the power of your word tonight, oh God. You are so good to us. And everyone said amen. Praise God. It's good to see Joy and Hannah in the house. I saw Joy this morning, and then I saw Hannah unloading with her little Amish baby this evening. And what a lovely sight. We love both of you and are so glad always to see you. Praise God. So in chapters 36, 37, 38, we've been in Exodus for a while. We've been making our way through this business of Sinai and the receiving of the instructions for the tabernacle, the constitution that God gave them on the mountain Sinai. And he made them and gave them a national identity. He made them a nation. They are now free. They're out of Egypt, and they had to come through a little brief period of anarchy there because they had no ruling condition other than Moses leading them. But now they've received the constitution, the boundaries, the guidelines, the law, and now they're putting all that together. And so as we were dealing with it this morning about all the parts of this, God sees what he wants and plans what he needs to show to mankind. He shows it to mankind, and then men see, or they get vision, and then men show other men the vision, and then they actualize, if you would, or they do, or they build, or they become. And that's just a brief little sketch of how it works from the top of Mount Sinai, or from the depth of your personal prayer meeting, or a revelatory moment when God comes down and speaks to you and demonstrates vision to you. So the first thing you have to have is a spiritual encounter, and out of that comes vision. When you meet God, you see yourself, and you see God, and you see the plan of God for your life. And out of that, the most organic thing in the world, mission comes. What to do and what God's plan is, that comes to you. And then you step off into a place where you come back down to the existential, and you begin to make the thing real, the thing you've seen, the thing that God has said. You begin to make it real, or you actualize it, you build it, you make all of the composite parts of it, and then you take it and you implement it, or you get it prepared. And then you have to, by action, establish the process that God intended. This seems a little bit cumbersome and long and time intensive. It took them 2 years to get all of this together, but it was the process of redemption for Israel and for the whole world. So it was well worth any time that they put into it. Whatever God asks you to do, it's going to be well worth your time and your investment to do it, because God is bringing you to a better place. God's going to take you to heaven, but God's going to give you what you need to accomplish what he's called you to do or to be. So the tabernacle is the redemptive process of God. It's God's plan during the time of Israel and Moses on the earth. He also gave them the parts, the constituent parts of what we would know as Jewish culture. He gave them moral laws and ethical laws and ways to deal with one another. He gave them everything they needed for an instant culture. And it was all centered around God, his word, and it was a theocracy. It was a unified theocracy with great personal liberty. God taught personal ownership of property. God taught that people had great liberty, and their teachings are the basis for what our founders developed into our democratic republic here in the United States. A lot of the Judeo-Christian values are a part of the liberty and the freedom we experience in the United States, which is unique in history and has produced one of the most robust experiences for middle-class people that the world has ever seen. There's never been a place like this before. And it is because people tapped into some of the things, some of the riches in the Word of God. So God gave them this redemptive process, and he gave them a plan of redemption, and he gave them a culture that would sustain them as they were the people of God, and as they were redeemed by God, he gave them a culture that would sustain them. Let me tell you, it's very, very important. You can come into an initial dynamic experience with God, but you have to come into a nurturing, sustaining environment. You have to come in. The apostle likened likens you in your birthing into the kingdom of God as a little child or as an infant that desires or needs the sincere milk of the word. You must come into a place where you can be fed and cared for and nurtured. Now, you're going to grow up to be a fully participating individual in the kingdom of God, fully mature and helping others and carrying the weight. But you cannot be that on the first day. It takes a while to get this together. And I know they've sold it short, and I know they've made it cheap in the world all around you, but there never has been anything as drive-through or microwavable Christianity. It just doesn't work like that. It's not God's way. So the tabernacle that we're dealing with tonight, it had to first be seen. God told Moses, now do it just like I showed you in the mountain. And over throughout these chapters here, the 36 through 40, we hear they did it according to God's commandment. They did it just like God showed them or told them. And it has to be seen, then it has to be actualized. And this morning's study, we talked about how they had finished all the different disparate parts of the tabernacle. They made the laver, they made the altar, they made the candlesticks, they made the drapings, they made the veils and all the little attachments and the silver sockets and the posts that made up the wall and the posts that made the boundary outside, the courtyard boundary. And they made all of those things in different places. Different artisans, different craftsmen made all those different parts. And this morning's study was when they brought them all together and they did it according to the word of God. It's important that when you make things for the kingdom of God, that you do it according to God's word. That you do it as God has instructed you. So Exodus 40, 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So when they finished and they completed the building and the making and the bringing of it all together, then God's presence came down on it and the glory of the Lord fill that place. So they actualized it according to God's command. They reared it up, and then the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses couldn't enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. So these last several chapters that we've been dealing with, it chronicles, it details all of the creation of every part. It names the individuals that were anointed of God or given special gifts or skills to create these pieces and parts of the tabernacle plan. And certain by name individuals are credited with these things. And then there's a host of others that are involved that are working on other projects the responsibilities of this project are accomplished by a large number of people. And then even a greater number of people bring the original raw materials into the construction zones. And they bring the gold and the silver and the stones and the lumber and the goat hair and just all of the things that are involved. There's linen involved and there's all sorts of raw material. So all of that is compiled. And when those parts are brought together and they are finished as individual units, and then they are brought into a certain site and they are brought together and set in process order. They're set in order of the process of God's plan and they're working together in God's process. Then the glory of the Lord fills that house. He gave them the detail for every individual piece, the candlesticks and the table of showbread and the Holy of Holies furniture like the mercy seat and the Ark of the Testament. He gave them very specific detailed instructions about how to make that, and they made it all out in every different area of the encampment and in laydown yards and in fabrication areas and all that. They had all of this and it was all being being made, and it was made according to the word of God. But he also gave them a very specific placement of where those articles went in relationship to one another. He told them exactly how wide and how long those curtains were going to be outside the courtyard. He told them exactly the height and the depth and the size of that tent structure. He told them exactly where the altar should go and where the brazen lava should go and on which side and where and how the candlesticks should be situated and the table of showbread and the altar of the altar of incense and where the veil should hang. And he gave them detailed instructions. All of those things were made out there in different and disparate places, but he gave them very specific instructions as how they were to relate to one another and where they were supposed to be situated. And the kingdom's process would not work out there all scattered out in the tents and out in the encampment, but it had to be brought together and it had to be arranged according to the arrangement dictated by God. And every part, every working part, every important part had no power outside of that relational dynamic. Had no power, had no function out there by itself in so-and-so's tent or in their backyard or in the edge of the encampment somewhere. But they had to be brought together and they had to be placed in alignment and in symmetry and in form according to the word of God and according to God's plan. So actualization is a perhaps maybe broad and time intensive and sometimes cumbersome and very detailed activity. Actualization, though, is not complete in the development of every individual part, but only when the actualized part, the actualized individual part, becomes a part of the unified whole, a part of the unified purpose of God. And so the candlestick had power, but it was powerless outside the context and the definition of the plan of God. And the Ark of the Covenant had great power, but not outside the plan and the configuration and the process of God's tabernacle plan, his redemptive plan. And I want you to understand that everything we see in this, not only is the Lamb pointing toward the Lamb of God, which is Christ Jesus, not only is the tabernacle pointing toward the tabernacle of his body. He said, tear down this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. Not only was the showbread emblematic of the body of Christ and the other parts in the tabernacle all pointing toward Jesus himself, but every one of them point toward the church of the living God. And they all are emblematic of what and who we will be as we come into the kingdom of God. And I just need you to know and to understand tonight, you can have a vision and you can understand the mission and you can receive anointing and blessing from God and you can be about actualizing what God has brought you into knowledge of. But until you bring that gifted thing, until you bring that purpose thing into harmony with all of God's other pieces, you lose the power, you lose the function, you lose your way, and you're only partially complete. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because God's got a calling for you, and God's got a ministry for you, and God's got a work for you, and God's got a destiny for you, and God will show you by vision who you should be and what you should do and how it will look. And you can get down in your prayer room and get down in the word of God and make that thing real in your life, but it doesn't have the power of God abiding upon it until you bring it into the house. And until it is connected in relation with all the other moving parts of the plan of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands, lift our voice, and give God some praise and magnify him. So I don't know what God has told you. I don't know what God has begun to do in your life. But some of you are getting an inkling, and some of you know, and some of you feel it, and some of you are seeing it. But I want you to know, you are not a standalone individual in the kingdom of God. You will never be what God has called you to be until you are meshed together with the process of God, which is the church of the living God. You've got to bring it into the house. I don't mean the physical building. I mean the house of the bodies, the people of God. We corporately are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Psalms 133 and 1. There is an anointing on unity. Behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. When they dwell together and they dwell in unity and in harmony, or they are walking according to the dictates of the word of God, it's like the precious ointment on the head that ran down on the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Beautiful, pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to come together and bring their giftings and bring their callings and bring their anointings and bring their vision and bring their understanding. And they all fit in, as did the pieces of the tabernacle. They fit in together. At Babel, God makes a great commentary on unity, and he tells us that the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They were a rebellious people. They did not want to serve God and obey the word of God. But he makes a commentary on unity. They have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. I just want you to know, if you can come together in unity, in a rebellion, in a sinful activity, God says there's hardly anything that'll stop you. But I want you to know that is so much more amplified when you're talking about the people of God, about the work of God, and in the kingdom of God, and you come together in unity together, and you speak the same language, and you have the same dream, and you're walking in the same way. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. When Solomon built his temple, the word of God tells me that the stones that were built into that temple at the workplace and at the site of the erection of the temple, it was not the sound of a chisel or a hammer, because they were all perfected out away from the work site, from the erection site, and all of them had perfect sides and perfect, they were perfectly square and they were perfectly designed, and so they just slipped in together and they fit perfectly together. And when you're building up the temple of God, we are stones, and we're going to read some scripture about that, and we are there is a metaphor here, and there's an analogy between stones in the temple and you, your life. We are lively stones, Peter will say. But I want you to understand, the stones that made up the temple of Solomon didn't have free will and free moral agency, but you do. But you do. And some craftsman could take them and make them square and plumb and level and just perfect, and able to slide them into a certain size slot in that wall or in that arrangement at the temple. But for you, it's by your will and it's by your purpose in your heart that you come to a place of prayer. Your lay down yard is not a place where a craftsman takes a chisel and a hammer to you. Your lay down yard is a place where you go into prayer and you take the word of God and you ask God to knock the rough edges off of you and knock everything off of you that interferes with your being able to fit perfectly with the people of God in the house of God. As we're fitting together, we don't need the sound of a hammer. I'm going to make you sit with one another. I'm going to make you love one another. We're not taking a chisel to you in the house of God. You got to get that done in prayer. You've got to get that done in worship. You've got to get that done in the word of God. However you do it, you have to fit in with the house of God. You have to find the church. You have to become the church. You have to fit in with the church, or you'll never be what God has called you to be. And I'll go a little further. I don't think you'll ever be saved. I don't think you'll ever be saved. No more than your hand would be saved if you cut it off of your body and cast it out into the yard. You can't survive as an individual member without the church of the living God. The church is God's methodology. The church is God's plan. The church is the ark of safety. The church is the tabernacle of Moses. The church is the temple of Solomon. It is where the world comes. It is a house of prayer for all nations. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the process of God is He's housed now in a temple or a tabernacle made with New Testament stones. Paul to the Ephesians says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then the language of community, that was the language of salvation and redemption. Now the language of community. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. It's the only way the kingdom works. You have to come in and you have to become a fellow citizen with the saints, with the holy ones, and of the household of God. This is a house. It's God's house. There's households of God in China and in South and Central America and all over Africa. And everywhere the world is, there is the church of the living God. The sun doesn't set on the church of the living God right now. But wherever you live, you have to find the church. And you've got to become a fellow citizen and a part of the household of God. And I'll just tell you, you won't find a perfect one, and you won't find any perfect people, and you won't find any perfect saints, but you're going to have to be a part of the church of the living God, or you're not going to be a vessel that is pleasing unto God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. So, and are built upon the foundation, the apostles and the prophets, a specific criteria. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. This is the corporate conversation about your redemption. In whom you are also builded together, 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 for a habitation. God wants to live in this through the Spirit. Just like when they erected that tabernacle and they got everything where it was supposed to be, the cloud of God's glory came down on that place and filled the house. And you are tonight, you are sitting here, lively stones, builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God has chosen to live in his church. God will live in an individual. And you know how we teach it. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This corporate fellowship is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You'll build three houses in your life. You'll build your personal house. You'll build your familial house. And you'll build up the house of God. But I want you to know tonight, it won't be complete. Your individual life nor your family life will be complete if you don't have them conjoined with the church of the living God. You have to have the corporate experience within the parameters of God's defined word. Somebody say praise the Lord. Here's what Peter said. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You're a spiritual house to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It used to be in the temple, and then it was in the tabernacle. But now it's in the temple of the church of the living God. And you're called to build up a spiritual house and offer up spiritual sacrifices. Where do we offer those sacrifices now? Even if Israel builds another temple, it won't be fit for sacrifices because the law of Moses has been out of force for 2,000 years. But the sacrifices of God are offered up in the church of the living God tonight. If you could find the mercy seat or the Ark of the Testament, you wouldn't offer up a sacrifice of power or meaning there. None of it means anything anymore because now God offers up within the corporate structure of his church. Wherefore it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believes on him should not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at his word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. All of those assignations, all of those labels are plural in nature. A nation is a plural entity. A generation is a plurality. A priesthood is a gathering. A people is is a plurality. Now you can talk about some people really bug me, and you mean an individual person, but you're actually using that in a way that is not grammatically correct, because people is plural, and all of these designations are plural in nature. You are a chosen generation, and I've got to tell you, you can't be chosen outside the house of God. You're a royal priesthood, but you can't be a priest all by yourself outside the structure of God. You're in a holy nation, but you can't be an individual without the nation of God. I'm telling you, God works on something that's bigger than your individual life, and you've got to acquiesce to the word of God and bring your gift and bring your calling and bring the thing that you're actualizing into the house. Paul to the Ephesians, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The joints between the stones, the relationships. You have to come in, and you can't be an island in the middle of the church. You have to come in and get cemented in and be a part. You can't be a ghost in the house of God. There are some folks who are ghosts in the house of God, and they wander. They're wandering souls, either because they will not connect, or because they will not cease from sin, or because of a lot of different reasons. But whatever it is, sweetheart, you need to get it out into that laydown yard and get all those rough edges knocked off and all those impediments to your being able to mesh together. Because when God looks at you, he looks at you just like that altar, and it's got to be in a certain relationship to everything else in the house. And he looks at that curtain on the outside, and it has to be placed exactly where God wants it. And he looks at that candlestick, and it has to be in a certain relationship to everything else in the house. And when he looks at you, you have to be in a biblical relationship with all the other moving parts of the kingdom of God. There is no variation on that theme. Every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, praise God. Are you okay? Raymond, we had a private conversation the other day. Is it okay if I make it public? Like, oh no, what is he doing? So God's working on Raymond, and he's moving into areas of production, music production, video production. He's interested in that. And he's already begun to do that, and he's got some national concerns that are interested in him and his work, and I'm excited about that. And I'm looking, because when we teach this business of spiritual formation, and then vision, and then mission or actualization, and we teach that it happens in every individual in the kingdom of God, and that God has vision for you, and God has mission for you, and God has purpose for you, and destiny for you. And I'm seeing it happen in a very organic way all through the fellowship, and new things are happening, and people are getting ideas, and things are happening like, I want to have a career fair at the church. It's like, okay, we've never had a career fair at the church. But something went off in your heart. You're an organizer. You're a visionary. I hope you're a good manager, because visionaries are not always good managers. But so we've got that going, and it's like, that's going to happen. And there are going to be people representing different disciplines from UAB. They're going to come and teach and other areas of business or industry. And so that's a really neat thing and a wonderful thing. And maybe a net, an evangelistic net, but it's going to offer all kind of possibilities to people that attend here. But these are just two examples of something that God is doing organically in people that are not coming top down. Someone's instructing you, but you're out in the ether of prayer and worship, and God's talking to you, and you're seeing and you're hearing, and now you're about the business of actualizing that and making that real. But I've got a caveat for you, and I've got an instruction for you. Whatever God tells you and however God leads you, it will not, you can build it, you can make it, you can develop it off in a corner somewhere, but until you bring it and position it in the house of God and among the people of God, and it becomes a part of God's process and God's plan, it will not have the meaning that God intended for it to have, because he gave somebody the instruction to make the candlestick. But at some point after the candlestick was created, it had to be carried into the site where God was going to set it up in relation to everything else and everybody else and all the moving parts. So we haven't, you've been doing music and stuff, and we haven't had you, like on a Sunday night, do any rap. There's a lot about that I don't even understand. And I love music, and I love a lot of that, you know, but it's like something different. But we got to find a way to integrate what you are and what you do into the process and the plan of God. We've got to find a place for it. So not only does he have to bring it, but he comes and brings it and says, hey, look, God breathed this into me. I'm building this. I'm doing this. And my job is to say, let's make that a part of the process of God. Let's make that a working part. And let's find a place where it can stand in relation to everything else around it. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so God is giving you ministry, and God is giving you giftings, and God is giving you visions, and I don't know how you'll be used. But Paul says one of us is a hand, and another of us is a foot, and another one is an eye, and we can't all be the same, because we come together and we make a functioning body. But your eyeball can't work very well off down the street by itself. You're like, where's my eyeball? God, we're the body of Christ, and it's not fitting for God to try to get around without a foot. Or God to try to get around without whatever moving part you are. If you want to work that analogy, friend of mine, if you want to be a part of the body of Christ, you got to be a part. And you've got to find your place. I don't need a knee on top of my head, but it's really useful down here above my foot. I don't need ears down somewhere where I can't hear. Pardon me? Could you speak a little louder? I don't need an ear all displaced and out of relationship and out of the function of God's intention. I need an ear where it does me some good. Somebody say praise the Lord. And you are the parts of the body of Christ. And you are stones in the wall of the house of God. And God is going to give you vision. And God's going to give you purpose. And God's going to give you a mission. But you've got to bring it into the house. My God, somebody ought to worship right now. Somebody in the middle of actualizing. Somebody in the middle of hearing from God right now. You ought to give God thanks and give God praise. And you ought to lift it up and say, God, what you've called me to do, I'm going to do it in your people. What you've called me to be, I'm going to be it in the midst of your people. Oh, clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify God. Praise God. Praise God. We have so many gifted, talented, anointed, empowered people here in this congregation, in this relatively small congregation tonight. There are so many gifts, so many wonderful things. Caleb, I have enjoyed watching you develop as a guitarist. It was a happy day for me when I could set my guitar down and walk away and not worry about it. But I've seen you blow up. And you're a much better guitarist than I have ever been in all my life, because you've set your heart to it and you've developed it. But I'll tell you what, God gave you that to use in the house of God. It's not meant for some honky-tonk down the street. It's not meant. I don't know where life will take you, and I don't know what will happen, and I don't know the doors that will be open, but God has gifted you to be a feature in the house of God and to be a part of people coming into the house of God and receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody say praise the Lord. All I am and all I have and all I'll be belongs to God. All I am and all I have and all I will ever be belongs to God. My gifts, my callings. Praise God. Praise God. You know how we draw the circles. You know, we start with the individual, and then we put emphasis first on the individual. First the oxygen on you. And then on your wife. Is your wife here tonight?
She's here.
He said she's here. She's here somewhere. There you go. Next circle is the wife. Next circle is the children. Next circle is the vocation. Your gifting, your calling, the anointing is needed in all of those areas. The next circle is the corporate experience. And so what I'm teaching you tonight is absolutely consistent with all of that. But at some point, when you strengthen it and when you fashion it and when you actualize it, you got to bring it to the house of God. So you got to bring that life that you're building into the house of God. And you've got to bring that wife that you're believing God for into the house of God. And those babies that are going to come, got to bring them into the house of God. And they have to be positioned in relation to the body. Some people have a problem with that. They do okay at some level, but because of perhaps some unresolved childhood conflicts or some unresolved familial distortion, maybe they feel as an individual they don't fit in very well. Well, you got to figure out how to fit in. And God puts the onus on you. I can't make that feeling go away. You know how you make that feeling go away? By making yourself fit in to the house of God. Then you bring that wife to the house of God. And you might say, well, we don't fit in, and nobody loves us, and nobody wants us. Those are lies out of your distorted past. And what? But I'm telling you, the house of God is the best place I've ever been in all my life. I thank God for the church, and I thank God for the people of God. And I would not be living for God, and this church would not be here if it hadn't been for a church in Baton Rouge that loved me and helped me and builded me and taught me. I owe a debt to the church. Somebody say praise the Lord. And then you got to bring those children into the house of God. You got to be really careful when you bring those children in, because when those children come in your kids, you'll begin to revisit all of those childhood distortions and painful things. And if you see some little kid mistreating your little kid, or you see some adult perhaps not being attentive to your little child, or a million different versions of that, then it rises up in you. But you've got to take that baby on the side, and you've got to say, honey, this is the church of the living God, and we're glad to be here, and we can't be saved without this, and these are the people of God, and we're going to pray for those that need praying for, and we're going to love them, and we're going to be a part of this, whatever we have to do, because they will follow your lead and believe your doctrine. And you're suffering from the doctrine of a distorted past, but they won't suffer from that if you don't recreate that in their life. They will not have the dog by the ears. If you don't know what I mean by the dog by the ears, the Bible said if you take up another man's offense, you're like a man with a dog by the ears. The longer you hold him, the madder he gets. And you can't let go of it. and you don't even know why you're offended. I am appalled and amazed that people are picking up all kinds of ancient racial pain and suffering, and the voice of the politicians, you're picking that up and you're trying to create a new 60s or a new 50s or whatever back in the past. I'm telling you, you got a dog by the ears. That didn't work well then, and it won't work tonight very well. But it never will work in the house of God. We are brethren. We are one people. There is no race in the house of God, just the human race and just God's people. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, you know, now, Johnny, you can't trust Whitey. Now, we're going to go and we're going to be around and we're going to smile, but you know, someday, somewhere, somehow, he's coming after you. And he doesn't look at you like he looks at everybody else. He can't see. Well, that's a lie out of hell. That's a demon spirit trying to separate the house of God, trying to get the parts of the... Look, understand divisive spirits in relation to this conversation tonight. Everything has to be in its place. Everything has to be placed in relationship to everything else for the process of God to work effectively. And what the enemy hates is the thought that the process of God would work effectively. So he wants to divide us, and he wants to separate us, and he wants to find odd, and he wants to dig up old things, and he wants to create confusion in the house of God. But you got to stand up in the middle of that and say, I've been born again. I'm a brand new man. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I'm not buying into the divisive conversation. And if you are on social media and you feel something rising up in you when you read about somebody's report of mistreatment or problems in their life, you need to get rid of that, because that thing is sowing seeds of discord in your heart. Don't you take up somebody else's offense. Well, praise God. Are you okay? I'm going to let you go home, but this could go on for a while. God's got a gifting for you. God's got a calling for you. I'm going to use it in the house of God. I'm so excited. Matt has a Spanish class on Friday nights. He has an English class on Friday nights with Spanish-speaking people.
Amen, hallelujah.
Well, preach a little in Spanish.
Oh, gloria a Dios. Estoy tan agradecido por todo que él ha hecho para mí. Estoy aquí por mucha gente y esa familia, esta iglesia. Es una cosa muy fuerte en mi vida y estoy aquí por el Espíritu de Dios. Gloria a Dios.
Y todos les dicen gloria. Y todos les dicen gloria. Yeah. You can't work with Spanish-speaking people. You're not qualified. You need to suspend that class right now. It's worse. I'm teaching a Bible study to the same class in fractured Spanish, in pitiful Spanish, Sister Maria. But you know what we're doing? We're building up the kingdom of God. We've got a vision. We've got a gifting. We've got a calling. And we're not going to let voices outside tell us what we can do and what we can't do. But we're going to serve God in the midst of all of this. What's your calling? What's your gifting? What's your place? You have one. God has a definition for you, and he has a placement in the house of God. Well, the pastor won't give me an open door. The pastor won't give me a job. That's not my job. Your job is to see it, to hear it, to actualize it. And when you do, I'll see it. And the door, promotion doesn't come from the north or the south. Promotion comes from God. And your placement in the kingdom of God. I do not believe in top-down control of the people of God. I want to see you organically grow into what God has breathed into you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, let's stand together. I don't even know how to have an altar call on this. Praise God. Clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't want to see you playing the keyboard at some honky-tonk. You laugh? Jerry Lee Lewis came out of church. Elvis Presley came out of church. I only know old people. Katy Perry came out of church. Anointings, blessings, callings. But they took them out of the context of the plan, the redemptive process of God. And they took them to another house and another place and a place far from God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Half of the people that established Motown came out of church. The artist formerly known as Prince came out of church. Could eat an organ alive. But he didn't learn that down on the street. He learned that in church. What happened? They took the thing God had given them. They actualized it. They made it. It was going to be great. And they saw something shiny in the distance and walked off there. We've got gifted, talented people all over this house tonight. And God has a purpose for your gifting and for your calling and for the anointing He's placed in your life. Praise God. I have almost a compulsion. Sister Brittany, when I see you in the altar, I almost always have this compulsion to ask you to lay hands on people because I believe you have healing in your hands. I don't understand that. It's just something that comes out of the Holy Ghost. And I believe you're doing it in your profession and you're doing it in the house of God. And I see a lot of you that way. What will God do with you? I'm telling you, if we can get everything actualized and in place, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be exciting. Praise God. If you'd like to come, you'd like to just offer your life, your gifting, your calling unto God. And if you're having a little bit of challenge finding your place, I want you to ask God. God, establish me. Give me the parameters. Give me the definitions. Help me to know my place, where I stand, how I relate. But help me, God, to always be an integral part of the house of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Sing that. God, get close to somebody. Take a hand. Lay your hand on somebody. Let that Holy Ghost flow from vessel to vessel. Yes.
Whatever you call me.
Just say yes. Just say yes.
Lord, I say yes. My desire passionately.
Yeah. Let's have a little workshop here for a minute. I want you to turn to somebody, lay your hands on them, and pray for them. Let an anointed prayer flow through your vessel. Talk in tongues. Let that Holy Ghost flow.
I agree to your will, oh God. Whatever you say, Lord.
Praise God. Begin to lift up your voice in praise and magnify Him. We give you praise, oh God. We say yes, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ah, blessed be the name above every name. Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you on a beautiful Sunday. It's been a wonderful day in the house and in the kingdom of God. I want you to go and take dominion in your world tomorrow. Be a light and a witness and an effective vessel in the hand of God on your job tomorrow. And my sympathies to all of you that are on spring break. You're going to be so without purpose and bored. And my heart goes out to you. But it'll all get back in order next week. So, but share your victory and your love with one another. And spend some time blessing some folks before you leave the house tonight. God bless you.